Welcome to Plot Points with Amanda and Christian.
We're going to talk about all things fandom.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Christian. And today we are, it's kind of a freeform episode. We're talking about the concept of world building. It's just a concept that I've sort of been interested for a long time, especially as someone who's an aspiring writer. And Amanda, I'd be interested to see your sort of your perspective as a communications major.
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to kind of like start the conversation and kind of we'll go from there.
Sure. This is another one of those freeform ones where we're just kind of, there's a topic we're going to talk about. I mean, every podcast has a topic we're going to talk about, but rather than a specific, like does A mean B or whatever? This is just, let's talk about world building. So one thing I wanted to talk about was I guess genres, fantasy versus sci-fi, because both of them involve world building and both of them are very similar. And I guess I just like your ideas on like what differentiates them, because to me, the only difference between sci-fi and fantasy is either A, if you want to be strict on structure, A, futuristic stuff versus past stuff, or B, if you want to go more structure-wise, one's a magic system and one's a more fake science system.
I think B versus like a magic system versus a fake science, as you're putting it, or like elaborated science, because I don't necessarily think fantasy has to be past. Like the show, the Shannara Chronicles, which is also based on a book series, technically, I believe in the timeline is, the world, it's like elves and stuff, but it's after the world as we know it collapses, because where they, in the introduction of the show, there's a massive ruin that is actually the Space Needle. So I don't necessarily know that it has to be in the past. It's just not in our world. It's its own system. It has its own natural laws. It has its own geography, its own mythology. It's not based in the reality that we know as human beings.
Gotcha. So do they still have like the trope? Because I saw like the first episode. Do they still have like the tropes of like historical stuff, like sword fighting versus guns, things like that? Or is it?
Yeah. Like future? It's very much it's very Lord of the Rings-ish. There's not modern technology. It's swords. It's telepathy. It's very much a fantasy. It's not, it's not the 100, where it's, yes, it's where it's mixed, but it's still very much set in a reality that we can understand, like that we know. It's its own system, its own reality.
Gotcha. So I'd say it's still kind of like, not past, but it's like history repeating itself. So we sort of got thrown into an environment that is quote unquote the past, even though it's the future.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
and I've only seen, I think there's two seasons. I've only seen the first season, so I don't know what they did in the second season, but the first season, like there, it's clearly happening on an Earth that was, but it's not Earth. It's not Earth as we know it. Versus Game of Thrones, which is just like its own entity. Like it's not happening on Earth. It's happening in another reality.
Yeah. I do also remember them having t-shirts though in that show. am I remembering that wrong? So maybe it is sort of a future thing. Maybe I'm just getting too nitpicky on future versus past.
And not
past.
So much t-shirts. It's just, I don't think that was, it wasn't so much t-shirts. It just wasn't as stylized as like medieval clothes. Like if you're watching Lord of the Rings, where everything looks like it's from a different world, but like Shannara was still set on Earth, and so I think there was still some remnants of the Earth that used to be that they carried over, would be my best guess. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I gotta go back to it too. Again, I've seen one episode. Okay, let me ask you this then. Would Star Wars be considered, we're not a Star Wars channel, guys. We love Star Wars, and it's like the basis of our friendship, or the not the basis, but like the the dawning of our friendship revolved around Star Wars and weirdly hot chocolate. We're going to just keep talking about it. It's like Hella Future Me, who I might mention later. It's a YouTube channel that I didn't realize we both watch. He always talks about Avatar. We tend to talk about Star Wars. But would Star Wars be considered a fantasy or would Star Wars be considered a sci-fi?
I'd say sci-fi because it has basic, for the most part, has basic natural laws that we can, that if we were to go into this world, we could understand. Like, there's still gravity. Yes, there is light speed, but that's like theoretically been processed in our world. Like, we have the theoretical basis for it. There is the Force, which is a bit whatever, but it's like most of the things are still rooted in natural law. Like, Jedi can die. They still have very human qualities where it's like there's the themes of, you know, have the political systems that are very similar to what we have in this world. We can understand them. The economy, a lot of that is fleshed out in the Clone Wars. I just watched an episode where they're talking about bank loans and funding the more clone troops, and are they going to bankrupt the Republic? So to me, it feels very much still in a world that if I was dropped into it, it wouldn't be totally foreign to me.
Okay. So would Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones has a lot of the similar elements, then would that be, is there, like, that's the thing. Is there really a difference? Because you could argue that Star Wars has a magic system, but it's still definitely, like you said, it's definitely sci-fi in its other elements. But then Game of Thrones is definitely fantasy, but it has a lot of those real world elements that you'd expect from a fake sci-fi,
yes,
or fake science thing.
But if I was dropped into, well, I guess the different planets have different elements as well. But like the fact that in Game of Thrones, summer can last 10 years.
Yeah.
I feel like when you have a system, a world building system that has totally different laws from what you would build upon, like in science fiction, you build upon the existing laws of Earth and you may change and manipulate them, but that's, you still kind of have that basis of, okay, this is where we're working from. Fantasy, you can build upon that, but you don't have to. And I think that's maybe where Game of Thrones tends to build upon it, but you absolutely don't have to.
That makes sense. Cause like in a sci-fi, the weirdest sci-fi imaginable, they still have, however, like yada yada it is, they still have a quote unquote scientific reason for things happening. Like even the Force is a magical thing, but they, whether the fans liked it or not, they had the midichlorian thing, which makes it all of a sudden a more sciencey thing.
Right, because
fantasy.
Right, because the Jedi, Sith, whoever is using the Force has there's a rationale because they have something in their body that is causing them to be able to use the Force.
Yeah, and Game of Thrones, they have dragons and it's not explained, oh, dragons are just a lizard, it's just a part of our world. They explain it through magic. Like Daenerys walking through the fire is a magical thing that's happening. They don't even explain what's happening, but that's magical. And there's no science behind it. Whereas sci-fi, the name makes it, I guess, sound kind of like obvious, but sci-fi is like everything is sort of explained via pseudoscience or even a real science. If you want to look at like Interstellar or something. Well, that was a very early ending to that conversation. But I think the whole thing of world building is like beyond that. So I don't know if you have any other comments on world building in general.
What makes world building, or how much world building you have to do in order for a series to be effective, whether that's a book series, a movie, a TV show, is there a different amount of world building that you need to do for, say, a movie than, say, a 8-season TV show?
So that's a question that I've been trying to answer with my own story that I've been writing. I've been trying to develop a, without going into too much detail, a fantasy story in another world in sort of like the Iron Age, like Roman era, or I guess it wouldn't be the Roman era there, but it sort of it takes notes from our own history. And I lately I've been watching a lot of YouTube history videos and things, and I'm like, oh, I've been building this world, and I haven't really written it down, but I have it really fleshed out in my head about these huge monumental events. And I'm kind of really coming to the realization of, does this really even matter? Like, does this war 200 years before, does it actually affect anything I'm going to be writing? And I think a lot of aspiring authors sort of fall prey to that. It's like, you want to be creative, you want to make all this world building, but A, you're going to be wasting your time, or B, you're going to be so stuck in the world building that the story ends up lacking for it. And like, how much world building should you have? I guess the important thing is what story beats do you want to tell, and then how does it? Okay, for me, I think there's a common theme in my life. You need to have balance. So when it comes to writing, you need to be able to balance the world building and the story. And she's giving me a face right now. You guys can't see it because like I say balance all the time. But like, it's true. Like, your story needs to make sense. So in order to do that, you need to craft a good world. But at the same, like, something that it's just not, you don't just have random conveniences for your characters that are world-based. So you need to have a structure. You need to have small rules so that you have a direction for your characters. But at the same time, you don't want to overdo it. So you need to balance. So to the question about like a novel versus like a TV show, I think, honestly, we've talked about like How I Met Your Mother and shows like that, how they sort of, they write themselves in a hole.
Right.
Like in a box when they plan too much ahead, because a lot of times TV shows, and books to this degree too, but mainly TV shows have their audience. There's a connection there. You can literally see the ratings as you write episode by episode. It's not like when you write a book, you know what your audience is going to think of a specific chapter, but you have ratings for TV shows. So you understand, if I keep going this direction, my audience isn't going to like it, or they're going to love it if I do this. And you have other things like character or like actors who just don't want to be part of the show anymore, and they leave. Or like they unfortunately pass away, or just any other circumstance that you don't have when writing a novel. And that's all going to affect your world building as well as your story. So I think it makes sense to, which I got to follow this advice in what I'm writing, but it makes sense to have a looser world building situation for a TV show. You definitely still need to have that structure there. Like Game of Thrones is a good example. It's part of it's amazing because you're entering a new world. But you want to still have it loose enough where you're not writing yourself into a box, because you don't know what's going to happen in life. And life affects TV shows a lot more than it, well, not maybe not a lot more, but more easily than it would a book.
Yeah, I agree with that. What I'm finding, because I'm also not currently writing a novel, but I have an idea for a fantasy novel, but I'm kind of doing the opposite approach, where I'm creating the world and I have like a world building software and I'm looking up all this stuff. And then from there, I'm like, okay, this is the story that I want to tell, because I have the idea in my head, but I want to flesh it out more. And the advice that I was looking up when I was looking at world building videos was to have 4 or 5 different categories where you're going to really flesh out, like geography, economic, religion, cultural systems. And even if you don't use all of that in your writing or in your TV show or your movie, you still have that to fill background information or dialogue, or just having that in the back of your head when you're creating, so that you don't write yourself into a hole and you're saying, okay, what do we do next?
Yeah, you're making it, I think you're talking about Hello Future Me, the video you sent me.
Yeah,
I didn't realize she watched this too, but I don't know how much of the channel she watches, but I've
seen,
I love
like
his
2 videos.
Keep going. He's an amazing video essayist, and he really understands stuff. He wrote a book. This is not an advertisement for him. I'm not affiliated with him, but I've been wanting to buy this book. You should check it out. If it's anything like his videos, then it's good info. But what you're talking about, I think, is the six. I wrote it down actually. The 6 pillars of world building. He mentions doing like like three, like you mentioned, three or four to keep yourself grounded.
Yeah.
So it's political, cultural, technological, economic, geographical, and religious, which you can see in the good one. Like Game of Thrones has a bunch of those. They have political, obviously, they have religious. They have technological, although I don't like that story arc with the whole dragon killing thing because it's not consistent. Well, they have it. Lord of the Rings, they're heavy on culture. The books apparently are heavy on religion, with Eowyn Iluvatar sort of the god of the of that world, but they don't really mention the movies. Star Wars has again political,
technological, they
have culture, technological for sure. So yeah, that makes sense to have three or four of those at least, sort of keep yourself grounded. And that's something I need to also do with my story. Because I have snippets here and there, but it's not as like zoomed in on those specific topics. And I think that'll really help me move this from just a bunch of different, like a brain cloud. Like, you know, you have an iCloud, I have a brain cloud of different info that when I write it down, I really need to structure it just for my own sake, so I don't go crazy trying to write this stuff.
Right, or so you don't. And that's how plot holes get created. Like you write one thing in season one and then you write something in season four and it doesn't match up. And you should have had that in your story Bible or your world building, whatever, to be like, hey, Sansa likes lemon cakes. And then in season four, you're like, hey, Sansa doesn't like lemon cakes, which I don't think happens, but example.
Well, no, but from Game of Thrones, you have, I really hated this when I realized it. You have when Theon last sees Tyrion, he makes a snide comment to Theon, and then Tyrion? You fast forward a few seasons. Yeah, Tyrion makes a snide comment to Theon. I don't know why but he does. And then fast forward into the next time they meet, which is seasons later, he's like, "I remember last time we spoke, you made a short joke about me." And then he does this quip, and it's like a nice quip for Tyrion, but it doesn't make sense in what they actually showed because
it didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that could have easily just gone back and watched their show. It's like stuff like that. The lemon cake thing, I don't know if it happened or not, but
no, it didn't. No, it's just an example of like, because that's kind of, Sansa loves those lemon cakes.
Yeah.
And that's something that you do kind of remember, or at least I picked up on. It's mentioned four different times.
It's all continuity. Like continuity is continuity. You need to have it in whatever you're doing. But when it comes to like, these fictional places and like sci-fi, fantasy, whatever, you need the continuity is part of the world, and that's why you world build, I think, is to really just have that continuity of you said elves hate dwarves, and all of a sudden this elf and dwarf are buddy buddy, and if you don't give an explanation for that, your audience is going to be confused. So stuff like that, or if you know your world enough, it's like knowing your characters. If you know your world enough, you're gonna make those decisions potentially without even thinking about it, because it's just in your mind already that, hey, this character wouldn't do this because they're from this culture.
Right.
Or this army wouldn't get here this fast because they live all the way like miles away, something like that.
Right.
Something the audience will pick up.
Right. So then my main question, this is interesting. How do you tackle world building in a situation where suddenly the world building changes? So example, this is the biggest, best example of a lot of things that we talk about is Star Wars. Of it, the franchise went through this change of it started in 1977 with the three movies, and there was obviously world building for that. And then it went to the prequels. And then there was a lot of extra media in terms of comics and books and things that weren't entirely canon, but were not, definitely not canon. Like it was called the Expanded Universe, and it was almost like a written version of headcanon. Like you knew these things happened, but they didn't necessarily, it wasn't necessarily fact. But then when Disney bought Lucasfilm, they kind of just retired everything and just called it, okay, these are Star Wars legends. This is like almost like an alternate reality. And so a lot of the world building that had been done is suddenly redone. And now suddenly Barriss Offee, who was like almost a full Jedi Knight in one of the books in Star Wars Legends, is now Ahsoka's age in the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm. So personally, in my inexperienced opinion, my non-expert opinion, I think the way to fix those is either A, don't, and just let it be a thing, which I think sometimes Star Wars does that for a little bit of their plot holes, or B, figure out a fix, and that, depending on the story, actually, even in Star Wars, because there's been many hands in that pot for Star Wars, many cooks in the kitchen, it can be effective or ineffective, but like a lot of ways a lot of people do it is either A, time travel, where it's just a different world or a different timeline, or B, the characters lied.
Fair.
I think we talked about before we recorded this, we actually talked about Game of Thrones. It's a very minor plot hole. It's not even really a plot hole. It's just kind of a thing. But neither of us know how to say his name. But the guy that Daenerys befriends in Karth, the richest guy in the world or whatever, he talks about how like Valyrian steel can't even pierce this vault. Her dad was watching it, and he asked her, "Okay, then how did they cut the stone to put it in the vault?" And one answer I thought of was just, well, this guy's all about bravado and about like, he's saying he's the richest guy in the world, but his vault's empty, all this stuff. He's about appearances. So maybe that was just a lie he made. So that Fair could be enough. A thing where like, yeah. So if you're not going to leave it alone and say, hey, it's a plot hole, whatever, just enjoy the show. Then you can explain away stuff like that with, well, this is what actually happened, and this is what people said. I think a big one that I have yet to get to, again, I know way too many spoilers about Clone Wars, is Rex saying, I never betrayed my Jedi. But then he, and he did fight it, but he shot at his Jedi. So that's something that's kind of, I think they just kind of left it alone, or they sort of twisted it in like a certain point of view. Star Wars is very famous for that because they literally had that in the movie, Obi-Wan saying, from a certain point of view. And I think they've used that as policy for this stuff before. And I think it's worked for them because it gives them the freedom to do different things.
And it's still. also an adage that is somewhat true. Because on certain things, like, you can view things from different points of view, and it be the circumstance looks and feels different.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a fix or a catch-all fix, but I do think that maybe, and you're right, he does say that, and they kind of fix it, they kind of don't, but it also is just kind of like a, well, from Rex's point of view, he did not do it. Like, he in his fully working self would never betray Ahsoka.
But also, like, he resisted, like, you could say just by resisting and by saying, hey, fine.
You're
not
that far. Chill. You're still in season one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen this scene though, because I was looking up the music and it popped, like, because that music is really cool. And it just popped up. But he said fine fives, which I know what happens to five. I know too much. I know.
Yeah, you know too much.
He says fine fives and he literally resists shooting him. So like, or shooting her. So like, he didn't betray her. Yeah, he shot at her, but eventually, but he really fought it. So I don't think he betrayed her. So I guess, but that's again a certain point of view. Now, there's also, have you seen X-Men at all?
No.
Okay.
I know. I watched all of the MCU. I'm still working on the other Marvel movies. I've seen Deadpool. That's about it.
That's fair. You miss out on some of the jokes then, because Deadpool makes fun of X-Men. Anyway.
Yeah, it does.
X-Men is famous for, they had when we were kids, they had a sort of X-Men trilogy, and then they did more movies, and they sort of retconned things, and they called it time travel, and they called it other stuff, but
is it like a Spider-Man kind of retcon where like they're different worlds, or is it like a Star Wars retcon where it's a different story?
I don't want to go into too much detail, because you haven't seen it, and I also haven't seen a couple of the newer movies. But there's definitely, I'd say it's the same story. It was retconned in a creative way.
Okay. I can live with that.
There is time travel involved, but I don't want to go too much into it. I don't think that's a major spoiler because literally the entire movie is about time travel, and you saw it, you see it in the trailer. But there is a movie about time travel and things get changed. But it, but yeah, it's the same. That movie actually connects the two. That's, it's a good movie. I'm not going to say which one it is. It's a good movie, but it actually connects the two worlds into one, and it just says that instead of retconning, we've done wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff, which I like.
Interesting. Going back to world building for a second, as that is what the episode is about, devolved a little bit.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen all of it, but we've both seen, I've seen all of the 100 and you've seen up to season 4 or 5, I believe.
Something like that.
Do you think that the 100's world building was effective because it took a central idea of, okay, this is the natural laws still apply and you're building off of the world that you have. But then they took that and kind of ran with it and made like things that wouldn't necessarily be natural law on Earth. Like you had the whole Allie storyline with the chips in their heads and how they're into this almost matrixy world, but she's a sentient being.
I'd say that is definitely like a fantastical element. But I would definitely say it's also like, not that it could happen, but we could see it.
Yeah,
we could pretend and picture it happening in the far future because it's like 100 years or something in the future.
Okay,
right?
Well, where you're at, it's yes. Where you are currently at, it is like when season one is 97 years. Like when the first scene, it says 97 years. After the explosion or in space or something like that. So
yeah,
it's around 100-ish years, yeah.
Yeah, from that explosion. But then how many years is that explosion from present day? So like it could be hundreds of years from...
No, actually. So they do... I don't know if you get my pen quickly. They do go into the origin stories a little bit in the further seasons of like exactly why this spaceship, the space station was built and the explosions and all of that. And it's, I don't know if they give an exact year, but it is not in the far future. Like they're still, I think in one scene, they're at a coffee shop. It's like, and it's not a Starbucks, but it's an off-brand Starbucks.
Yeah. But like, cause I know we do see some with Allie, we do see some of the, they created the, because it was like, what, 13 space stations? They melded into one. So they had the technology to have like the space stations, to have a space station prison thing. I think they're prisoners, right?
Yeah.
Pirates?
Mm-hmm.
Or something? Prisoners.
They're prisoners.
So it's like a little bit into the future. Like even if it's not like 100 years, it's still a little bit into the future. And then there's an explosion. And then there are 100 years, roughly 100 years after that. So like, to me, I think I talk about a lot of episodes, the suspension of disbelief. Watching it, for me, the suspension of disbelief is definitely there where I can be like, okay, yeah, chip, whatever. A chip that makes you see another world or whatever. Because I don't remember, do they die when they take the chip or are they still alive? No, they're still alive.
They're still alive when they take the chip. But if you kill them, like you can't... trying to remember, I don't think you can take the chip out without killing them. Unless,
can you hear Lincoln?
Yeah. Unless
he's dreaming.
You have, like, there was, because they took the chip out of Raven.
Mm-hmm.
It with an EMP, but I don't remember if there was a reason that they could take it out of Raven with an EMP, and there was definitely there was consequences for Raven after they took it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it was the being, the once they took the chip, they didn't want to not have the chip, and so they would fight and kill anyone who tried to take it out of them. And I, at one point, I do believe Allie gave orders to like kill anyone who didn't have the chip.
Yeah.
So they can still be killed and then they die and they die, like they're dead.
Yeah. So that to me is believable. I mean, the human brain is weird. And the idea that in 100 years, 200 years, whatever, we could have a chip that sort of affects our decision-making process and affects our just affects things in general. That to me seems fine. So I guess in the general sense of world building, I think that was effective world building in that I you just keep hearing Lincoln go, wah, 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 wah. It's like barking in his dream. It's really cute. But yeah, that's effective. To me, that's effective world building in that you world building is an environment. You're putting the characters in an environment. We're putting us in an environment. And if you have bad world building, that world will take us out. The events that happen will take us out. And I think that really drew us in. The blood, the black blood thing kind of seems less believable to me, but it still doesn't take me out because like genetic things happen. And if I could believe in a radioactive spider biting a dude and all of a sudden he could shoot webs from his hand and stick to walls, then I can believe in 100 years of nuclear waste causing some people to be genetically immune to radiation and fallout.
Yes. I have questions, but I can't ask you them because you haven't seen the rest of the show, because I think there is definitely the show walks the line between sci-fi and fantasy, and you see that way more as you get into the later seasons.
Okay.
So we may have to revisit this conversation. Hi, Lincoln. You may have to revisit this conversation when you've watched all the seasons.
What are you barking at? There's nothing. I'm staring out the window. I'm looking out the window. There's nothing there. It's both dogs. It's Sarah. So I'm at my girlfriend's place right now, dear listener. And she lives with her roommate, Sarah, and they both have dogs.
Whoa.
That one was Maggie. That's Sarah's dog.
Do you want me to pause it?
Sure.
All right.
So update on dear listener. There was someone at the window. It was the mailman. Well, it was Amazon. But apparently the dogs decided they want to be the stereotype of the dog barking at the mailman. And I think that it's 2021 and they need to stop being tied down to specific stereotypes of their breed or their kind or whatever. Their choice.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll have to revisit this conversation when you've seen all seven seasons. I think there's seven seasons. Because it definitely gets more into the fantastical, which I was initially opposed to, but the way they did it still has a basis in science, which is interesting. So I'm excited.
Well, that's part of the whole sci-fi versus fantasy thing. Even if it's super fantastical, if you can say, hey, there's a science-y, yada, yada reason, there's a doohickey, it's sci-fi. Let's just staying with genre, I guess.
Yeah.
Says me not knowing what happened because I haven't seen the episode she's talking about.
We'll have a conversation when you finish the 100. Maybe we'll bring one of our friends on at that point. So I kind of had this idea the other day about how like I've listened to a certain podcast and they do different like segments at the end. I'm just throwing this on Christian right now, see if he likes the idea, and if not, he can edit it out. But I was thinking we could have a geek moment of the week where it's like something that we geeked out about in a fandom, something we saw, and just kind of like talk about that. Like once we're done with whatever we're talking about, it's like, okay, it's time for our geek of the moment, our geek of the week moment.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go first because one pops into mind right away, but you haven't seen the show, so I can't mention it. And even if you have, I don't know if you get the reference because it references something else that you haven't seen as well.
Which is it, WandaVision?
Yeah, it's something in WandaVision that happens.
I'm gonna watch it. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, by the time this gets posted, there should be even a newer episode because we're recording this on Thursday, and tomorrow there's a new episode. But the episode prior to this last one is what I'm talking about. So if you're listening and you watch WandaVision, I think you know what I'm talking about. The ending of the that episode.
So my geek moment, I don't know if it didn't happen this week, but we'll just talk about one, and then as we go on, we'll say week to week. And we talked about it kind of on a previous episode of how I got an Oculus Quest for Christmas. And I bought Vader Immortal, and I talked about Darth Vader, but my real geek moment in that game was in the very first scene. You're actually flying in like a cargo cruiser. Mm. And like you're not a smuggler, but you're like a cargo transport. And so you own a ship. And so you get to walk around, you're flying, you go into hyperspace, you get to like pull the lever to go into hyperspace, and you get to walk around the ship, and it has all kinds of artifacts, and you get to pick stuff up. And I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in a starfighter in hyperspace in Star Wars.
That's pretty cool.
And like, I didn't have to go to Disney World to attain that, because you do get to have that experience if you go on the Millennium Falcon ride at Disney World. But I'm standing in my room with a headset out having that experience. I'm like, oh my gosh, there needs to be more licensed VR games. And I think as VR becomes more accessible to people, like the general population, because this is only like, there aren't that many standalone VR headsets where you don't have to have, you know, a really strong gaming PC and all these wires and everything. And it's like the price of them is really coming down. So I think it's becoming more and more accessible. I think there's going to be a lot more licensed games, because like, how awesome would it be to have like a Star Wars Battlefront type game where you're in the Clone Wars, or like Avatar, the like blue people, not Airbender, is just the perfect environment for a VR game.
I would love to fly one of those dragon
things. Right, exactly. Like Game of Thrones would be a really good environment for a VR game. I can think of like Hunger Games. I don't know, like, and that's something like Hunger Games has really shied away from doing any sort of video licensed video game.
Which is fair, because the kind of the entire message is
like anti-violence. Yeah, like it's fair because like the game would be you like in the Hunger Games, like it makes sense. But like Hunger Games VR would work really, really well. Like there's all kinds of first person shooter games already, but a lot of them aren't licensed characters, which I think would be something really interesting to bring into it. It's just that all of these different franchises haven't seen the benefit, haven't seen the cost benefit as of yet, but I think that the cost benefit is going to be there very, very soon. And so I'm really excited for all of that.
Gotcha.
Do you have a geek moment that you can tell me about?
Other than like, I guess this is kind of a geek moment, me practicing sword fighting and kind of, I don't know if I've mentioned this in a previous episode, but I do something called HEMA. I think I have, but recap, HEMA is Historical European Martial Arts. We study old actual sword fighting masters from the times that they wielded the swords, and we try to read it and relearn those techniques to actually fence like they would have fenced back then. So it's like real stuff. So me being a nerd, I like, or geek, whatever you want to call it, I like real stuff, but I also like the fake stuff. So recently I was watching a lot of Zorro stuff, and I'm also learning, what I'm learning right now HEMA wise is rapier, and it's kind of cool to learn that while also watching Zorro, like fight scenes from Zorro and seeing all that stuff. And Zorro is kind of where my love of swords even started in the first place. So like to go back and forth between them is kind of fun. So I guess that's kind of the geek out moment for me. Around my friend groups, I'm stereotypically the sword guy, so it makes sense. But yeah. Oh, well, also, not a geek moment for me, but...
Is this going to be a shameless plug?
No, not a shameless plug, although I do have a shameless plug later. This is more of a call to action. So Amanda has been telling me like our just analytics, like, wow, people actually listen to our show. So like, we know at least on average 3 people listen. We don't know who these 3 people are. So generally speaking, just if you like this channel, if you're listening to us, give us a shout out. That'd be great. But also on top of giving us a shout out, I would love to hear your Geek of the Week moments, because I think if you're listening to us, you are probably a huge nerd. So,
and I will have, yes, and there is a spot on our Facebook where you can go and type out your Geek of the Week moment, and we'd love to hear it.
Mm-hmm. That was a plug. That's not a shameless one. The shameless plug is that I'm starting a YouTube channel. It has nothing to do with nerd stuff. It has everything to do with me. I don't know what it's going to be. Right now, it's a vlog about me being more healthy and learning sword fighting, because those two kind of coincide in my life. Eventually, it might be me learning other stuff. But shameless plug, I'm about to launch it soon. I'm editing the first video. So if you wanted to check that out, I really shouldn't have plugged it in this episode because I don't have a name for it, but watch out next episode. I'll have a name for you guys.
Awesome. And we do have a name for our social media. We have Plot Points with Amanda and Christian on Facebook and Plot Points AC on Instagram.
I'm glad she didn't test me because I didn't remember that.
Comment, give us a shout out, interact. I make lots of cool graphics, which are really fun to make. And we will see you in the next episode.
Goodbye.
Bye.